Good evening, ladies, and shalom. This is Sister Elaine, Sister Elena, here with part three on the barakas of a humble heart or the blessings of a humble heart. I know it's been a few weeks, but we are back and we are going to end this three-part series this evening talking about the enemies of a humble heart. The enemies of a humble heart. Now, I remember in the very beginning when we talked about being humble and humility and all that from a shamanic perspective, it was speaking of being open continually to receive instruction and knowledge and understanding, right? And so we want to keep that in mind that as we walk with Yah, as we walk in covenant relationship with Him, as we walk in covenant relationship with others, and just interacting with other people, that we want to be open to receive, all right? Because we don't know everything. And so we have to be open to receiving understanding, receiving knowledge, receiving guidance, in our lives. So there are three enemies that I identify. I know, and there are more. But for the purpose of this segment, I just want to talk about three enemies of a humble heart, three adversaries, three forces of opposition that will prevent a person from walking in humility, will prevent a person from having a humble heart. Now, the first one is, we're just going to jump right into this. The first enemy is pride. That is pride, right? Now, pride is something that we all have struggled with because at the root of all sin is pride. And when we speak of pride, I just pulled off a dictionary definition, I believe, from Webster, and it says an exaggerated sense of self. Actually, this is my definition. Exaggerated sense of self. Thinking too much of self and too little of others, and not being considerate of Yahuwah, where we put ourselves in a position above Yahuwah. So, really, pride is an exaggerated sense of self. It is when a person falls into this thing where they're thinking too much of themselves. And too little of others, where their focus is predominantly on themselves and on how they feel, how they see things. And they're not very much concerned about how other people feel. They're not very much concerned about how other people feel. Sometimes, even if others attempt to make it known how they're feeling or what they're thinking, usually a person with pride will play that person's feelings down. I'm talking about like legitimate feelings that they want to express. And so we know that there are so many warnings against pride in the scripture. One of the most famous ones that we've heard growing up is that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We know that Yahuwah, He hates the proud and he resists the proud and talks about the prayers of a proud person. Yahuwah won't even give ear to them. He shuts his ear to their prayers. So there are many warnings in the scriptures that tell us that we need to avoid pride at all costs. Because if we have it, if we have made a covenant with it, then we will experience destruction. Yahuwah tells us, we know, we've seen it in humanity, that if you're going to walk in pride, get ready because you're just setting yourself up for destruction. So, as I said, all sin has its roots in pride, because a person is thinking that, their way is more important than what Yahuwah has said, or their way is more important than what someone that a person of authority that Yahuwah has placed in that person's life, they don't think that what they have to say is important. They don't think that what instructions they have to provide or what wisdom and counsel, they don't think it's important. They don't consider it. And That's pride, right? And it is very important that we are open to the voice of others. And I'm not saying just any voice. I'm talking about people who are walking in the word, who are walking with Yah, and even people sometimes like on the job, people who just have knowledge, they have skill, they have wisdom regarding the work, and they can share things with us and tell us how to do something and how to improve upon something. We have to keep our ears open to that. Now, pride also, it blocks our view of Elohim and his purpose. When we are in the sin of pride, we can't see Yahuwah. We cannot see Yahuwah. And one reason why we can't see Yahuwah is because Yahuwah, he's not looking to us because of the pride. He will not look to us. He will not hear us. And so for us, we can't see Elohim. We can't see him working. We can't hear his voice when we're walking in pride. And we will not have understanding of his purpose. It also blocks our view of others. When pride is present in a relationship or an interaction, then we truly can't see another person for who they are. We can't see the heart of another person when we're walking in pride, because remember, pride is all about the individual, right? A person in pride is saying, hey, it's about me. I come first. My needs come first. How I feel is what's most important. What I think is most important. And that's it. So pride just really puts us in a bubble where we're the only one in that bubble. It puts us in the world where we're really the only person in that world. And then that becomes a very lonely place. It becomes a very sad place. Now, pride can manifest itself in many, many different ways. And we're going to talk about some of the ways that pride can and will manifest itself. So whenever, situation one, when a person exalts their importance or their situation above another, that's pride being manifested. You know, sometimes people feel like what they're going through is so much greater or so much worse than what someone else is going through. And we know that there's nothing new under the sun. We know that whatever one person has experienced, someone else in the world and the history of humanity, someone else has experienced the same thing, right? And so, but sometimes people get so wrapped up in what they're feeling and what's going on with them that they just exaggerate it and just tell, you know, you don't know how I feel. And what I was feeling was way worse than so and so, or what I went through was way worse than. And, you know, the thing is, the Bible tells us not to compare ourselves among ourselves. So that's something that we all have to be very careful of. And we have to make sure we don't do this. Because I think it's very natural sometimes. It's natural as humans to fall into that behavior, right? Where we start comparing ourselves with others and we start comparing our pain with other, and we start comparing what we've been through with others, or you know, and it's not this, and you know, so and so went through this, but I went through this, or so and so was sick with this, but I was sick with that, you know, or so and so went over here, but I went and visited here, you know, and we just don't need to do that. It's not a good look, and it's not something. It's not the way that Yahuwah would have us to be, right? We should not do it. Because when we compare ourselves with others, then we don't understand that we're not in competition with the other person. The only person you're competing against is yourself. Your spiritual nature is competing against your fleshly nature. You are competing against yourself because you have to always make the decision daily that I'm going to be the best that I can be, that I'm going to be better than I was yesterday. I'm going to be better than I was last month. I'm going to do more for Yah. I'm going to do more for my family. I'm going to accomplish more. So you're only in competition with yourself. So it doesn't pay to compare yourself with somebody else. That person is also in competition with themselves, right? Another way that pride manifests itself, it manifests itself so many times in relationships, not just interactions, but relationships. And I think relationships are such a wonderful gift that Yahuwah gives us in order for us to be better people. The relationships that he brings into our lives, the people that he connects us with, that he puts us with, that relationship exists to make me a better person. That relationship exists to help me grow and mature into the person that I need to be in the relationship. And that Yahuwah is also requiring me to be as his servant and as his child. So relationships, whether they're friendships, marriage, parent and child relationship, familial relationships, relationships in the congregation, those things are there to make us a better person. And it's really unfortunate and it's really sad when people isolate themselves from relationships. Now, I know in today's time, you have to be careful in relationships. You have to be careful whom you choose to be friends with, right? You have to be careful, who you're going to marry, all these different things. You have to be so careful in the process and in the decision to even begin a relationship with the person. Because, oh, there's so many weird things happening out there, and there's so many dangerous people out there. So I get that. But the thing is, when the relationships are of Yah, and when Yah is at the center, and Yah is the one who brought you two together, even though you didn't know that in the beginning. Okay, so some people, they were brought together. And they didn't think it was Yah. They were not thinking about Yahuwah. They were not praying, asking Yah to bring this person to my life. They weren't even, but they found each other and they came together, whether that's a friendship, whether it's a marriage. But the thing is, Yahuwah brought you together. So I'm talking about those relationships. They're there to help us to grow. They're there to make us a better person. And when we're in those type of relationships and we refuse to grow, when we refuse to mature in that, when we refuse to be the best person that I can be in that relationship, guess what is at the root of that? That's pride. There's pride there. There's pride because pride says, in a situation like this, pride is going to say that I don't need to grow. I'm fine. I'm fine the way that I am. I don't need to change. I'm fine the way that I am. I'm not going to change because it takes too much work and it's going to put me in my comfort zone. And then I'll have to look back on what I was compared to what I will be. And that's just too much emotional work that I have to do. So I'm just not going to do anything. I'm just going to keep on doing what I've been doing. But at the root of that's pride. Because again, pride is about this intense and exaggerated sense of self, where the focus, the predominant focus is on me. And Yahuwah does not want us to be predominantly focused on ourselves. Okay. He does not. Even the scriptures and the voices of the ancient and the wise said, prefer the other person over yourself. It tells us to pull ourselves. Take the back seat. Let that other person go first. So it's never supposed to be about us predominantly anyway. It's not. And so when we think that it is about me and I'm the one who's most important, then we're just messing everything up. And then, like I said, it's the sin of pride. Another way that pride manifests itself is the refusal to acknowledge one's wrong. We see this in, we've all experienced this when we were kids, when we do something and we were mean on the playground or we hurt one of our friends or siblings, and our parents or teachers say, now say you're sorry, tell them that you're sorry, right? And sometimes for some kids, that would be the hardest thing to do. They did not want to say I'm sorry. But even in that moment, especially if the child was wrong and they didn't want to apologize for being wrong, that's the situation there. But when we refuse to acknowledge our wrong, that's pride. When we know we're wrong and a person can come to us and say, hey, you really hurt my feelings, this, and I'm talking about when it's a legitimate hurt, because there are many times where there are people who falsely are accusing others of, you did this to me, you did that to me, and the person they're accusing, that person didn't do anything to them. But I'm talking about in real situations, in truthful and honest situations, where you did do something to hurt someone, where you did offend someone, where you stepped out of line and you said something you shouldn't have said, or responded in a way that you shouldn't have responded, and you know it was wrong. And someone brings it to your attention, or even the Ruach brings it to your attention, but then you refuse to acknowledge it and to apologize. I've seen people go and around the mulberry bush to explain why they did something, but not just to say, you know what, I'm sorry, I was so wrong. That what I did, that was bad behavior. I was out of line. I was being selfish and not thinking of you or thinking of everyone else. And I was wrong. I was wrong. And I'm going to own it. And I am not going to go there again. And I'm so sorry. And, I think apologizing when we've been the ones who have done the wrong, when we've been the ones who have offended and hurt somebody else, really acknowledging that and owning that and saying, I am sorry. That is so liberating for us because we're being honest. And when we're honest, that brings liberty. That brings liberty. But when we make excuses for what we've done and we won't acknowledge it and we won't apologize for it, there's all, as well as the sin of pride being, present, and that there's also the sin of what is it? There's no truthfulness going on. There's not honesty going on. So truth is lacking. And when there's not truth, there's no freedom. When there isn't truth, there is bondage, right? We're told that you will know the truth and the truth will make you free, right? You will confess the truth. You will live the truth and the truth will make you free. But when there's no confession of the truth, then there's only bondage. So then what happens? A person doesn't realize that they're actually putting themselves or entrenching themselves in the bondage, in their bondage. So acknowledging our wrong, confessing it, saying I'm sorry, or like really being sorry and just regretting that you ever did that, that you ever hurt that person, that you ever, you're sad that they took it the wrong way. And I'm not saying you're going on days and weeks beating yourself up. I'm not saying that, because once you turn, you need to go on and forgive yourself. Don't wallow in something. But we need to be honest and we need to speak the truth so that we can walk in freedom and so that we can have other people in the relationship have freedom. Because then what is happening, because this is a cycle. This is the horizon. There is the coup, there's the 360. There is this thing where when we're doing, certain things, especially in covenant relationship. So in covenant relationship, if I won't acknowledge how I've hurt you, if I won't stop hurting you, whether it's emotionally, because all hurt is not about somebody beating up on you and putting their hands on you or cursing you out. Sometimes there's the hurt of just not caring about the person like you should. There's the hurt of not listening, not only to the person's words, but listening to their heart. There's the hurt of not being in tune and listening when there aren't any words. Because a lot of times when there aren't words, when there are no words or aren't any words, you hear what is really going on. So there's many ways that we can hurt people and not even realize it. And we have to be aware, we have to be present, we have to be discerning, we have to be in tune. And I say this, we have to get out of our own heads. Okay. Get out of your own head. Because when we're in our own head all the time, we cannot see other people. You truly cannot see another person if the majority of the time you're in your own mind and in your own emotions. All right, another way that pride manifests itself. Help us, Father. Thank you, y'all. Help us, Father. Oh, thank you. And I said this, I think I said this, when a person refuses to change, even though we know that the change is going to make us a better person, it's going to bring peace for me and the other person I'm in covenant relationship. When I refuse to change, that's pride. That's pride. If I said it before, I apologize. I don't know if I hit this point, because you just start getting this flow and you start talking. It's like, did I go there or was this just when I was reviewing my notes or what? But when a person refuses to change, even though they know the change will make them a better person and it's going to make their interactions better, it's going to make their relationships better, it's going to make them more pleasing to Yahuwah, but they don't change, that's pride. That's pride. And it's not only pride, it is also a form of rebellion. It's rebellion too. It's rebellion. And the father, he's just, I have some content, some files that he's been giving me. And I have some things from even last fall that he's dropped in my spirit to share with his people, with his daughters. And it's amazing how these sins that many of us think we don't have, it's amazing sometimes when we sit back and look at the big picture, just kind of just sit back, become present, and begin to take inventory of our hearts, but be also taking inventory of our relationships. Because, like I said, relationships are there to help us grow and to make us a better person. Relationships also exposes our weaknesses. Relationships also exposes our frailties. Relationships also expose our good points, our high points, where we're just, 150%, but it also exposes where we're just at 2%, okay? And so that's the beauty of relationships, because Yahuwah intends for us to be the complete, the perfect. I mean, when I say perfect, I'm saying complete, lacking nothing, progressing, always moving up and moving forward, always getting better. They talk about wine, how it is better with age. I don't know, I don't drink wine, but people say wine is better with age. And we know there's a lot of different things that are better with age. They get better as time, progresses on. And so it's the same thing, that we should get better as time moves on, as time